Hallelujah. 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 Glory. Glory to your name. Notice a few eyes opening slow. So I'm going to share a story. It's related to the title. I'm just going to share a little story with you all this morning. Y'all know about the Lone Ranger and his friend Tonto Indian. Well, Lone Ranger and Tonto were riding together on the range, and they were traveling north. And they saw 10,000 Indians approaching him from the north. So Tonto said, "King Asabi, what we do now?" Lone Ranger said, "We go south." So they went south. 2,000 Indians were approaching from the south. "King Asabi, what we do now?" "We go east." The east. 5,000 Indians were approaching from the east. "King Asabi, what we do now?" "We go west." They started going west. 10,000 more Indians were approaching from the west. He said, "What we do now?" What you mean we? No. Lone Ranger got himself in a bad situation. And you know, God does the same thing with us sometimes. In a no-win situation, that is when you encounter God's power. Today I just want to talk, I don't know how brief it's going to be, but I just want to talk a little bit about encountering God's power. And I'm going to talk about a familiar story that we all know about. That is the Israelites when they came out of Egypt and crossed the Red Sea. But there's so much more to that that I didn't see at first. Anybody here have ever been in a circumstance or a dilemma where you don't see that there's no way out? I mean, it can be in your health, it could be in finances, it can be your boss, it could be any circumstance that you find yourself in that you could see no way out. You know, and the Red Sea, that's the most noted story in Israel's history. And that is the crossing of the Red Sea, which was, it was celebrated. Even now, the miracles happen. Miracles after miracles happen. But those miracles happened simultaneously in a dilemma. The most celebrated story of one of the, it's been repeated, actually was repeated in the Old Testament many times and even in the New Testament. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29, it says that by faith they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land. And the Egyptians, when they attempted it, they drowned. See, this crossing of the Red Sea, it's no small deal. It's a big deal. But what I want you to catch today is that they had their divine encounter with God's power in the context of a dilemma. So I want to prepare you today for an encounter with God's power. But I also want to prepare you for your dilemma that provides the text, the context for that encounter with God's power. This is very clear. Pharaoh has responded now finally to Moses' call to let his people go. So the people now are on their way out from slavery to freedom. That's a big deal. They are excited. They were looking forward to what they had been told, that there is their promised land somewhere out there. But right now, they are free. This purpose of God, that God is going to take them to, and things are looking great. You're in this big problem. You're a slave. And you've been told while you're in slavery that He's going to use Moses to deliver his people. And Moses, he did what God has promised he would do. That should be, man, you should be shouting with joy. I don't care what happened after that, you should be shouting with joy. But that wasn't the case. Exodus chapter 13 and verse 17. Now when Pharaoh had let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philippines, even though it was near. For God said the people might change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. I want you to pay attention to just a few little words in verse 18. And that is, hence God led them. That little short few words is going to mean a lot, and you'll see later. Watch this. Their dilemma is going to come about when God is leading them. Their dilemma is going to happen when they are in the will of God. Their dilemma is going to occur when they are leading, when they're being obedient. Because it says, hence God led them. So we know for a fact God was leading them. Not only was God leading them to what would be a dilemma. It says God led them the long way around. He did not lead them in the most shortest distance route. Not only did that, but God was going before them. And verse 21 says, the Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud to lead them on the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. God is step of the way, and when they are doing, and when they are doing that zigzag, this cross back and forth through the wilderness, it says in chapter 14 of Exodus, verse 3, it says, for Pharaoh will say of the sons of Israel, they are wandering aimlessly in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. That's something. So when he says, and the wilderness shall shut them in, they are going to be in a no-win situation that they can't get out of without coming back toward us. And it says, and God was leading them. He was leading them into a trap with no way out. You see, a lot of us had figured out or come to mind, if it's happening in our life, that God, this is not God. God wouldn't do a thing like that. Oh, God does. And the reason God does that is because only in those contexts will you see that that he is God. Because the one thing about a dilemma is you can't get out of it yourself. The one thing about a dilemma is you can't see an exit. In every direction you look, you're trapped in. There's no way out. When God is ready to move, you to a new spiritual experience with him, he will regularly do it in the midst of a contradiction and of conflict. And that is the story here. That's the scenario here. In verse 4 of Exodus says, "Thus I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will chase after them." Now, explain something to you. To harden the heart means to make you more rebellious than you already are. To harden the heart is to make you meaner than you already are. To harden the heart is to make you worse than you already were. The verse says, "And God hardened Pharaoh's heart." So God hardened his heart and made him a lot worse than he already was. Because when God is ready to give you a new experience with him, he will allow you to be put in a situation that only he can get you out of. Ready to make the move, it doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter who what contacts you have, it doesn't matter how much money you possess, I don't care where you live or what kind of car you drive, doesn't matter. When God is ready to give you new experience with him, he will regularly trap you where you are. Verse 8 says, "The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he chased after the sons of Israel as the sons of Israel were going out boldly." You know, what frustrates people about God is he will make it look like he has answered your prayer. Have you ever been there before and like you prayed hard to God and you're in this dilemma, you don't see a way out, and see like a little door seemed to open up and you said, "Oh Lord," and all of a sudden it changes and you get a little frustrated. You may not tell the truth. "No, I don't get frustrated with God because I know God's going to handle this." No. That's God will get you. I'm the only one like Verse 8. Israel's going out boldly. I mean, you're praising him. You're praising God. Give your They finally get out of Egypt. They have been praying to get out of Egypt. God lets them out of Egypt to come after them. God changes mind. What's going on here, God? Verse 10. As Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. And they became very frightened. So the sons of Israel cried out. The sons of Israel cried out to the water over here. Pharaoh's army coming after him over here. And they're closing in on the Jews. And I know they were terrified. Frightened. We used to say frightened to death, but they were frightened to life. I will have changed that word for you. So they do what many Christians do. They cry to the Lord for help, while simultaneously, at the same time, complaining to man. Verse 11 says, "Then they said to Moses, 'Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness?'" They just prayed to the Lord. Now they're complaining to Moses, to man. Can you just? What is? Oh, okay. Since we're going to go in and out, put it out. Verse 12. Is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. You know, God's people are us. Can get right wishy-washy at times. So the conflict that they are in the Red Sea, an Egyptian produces a spiritual conflict within them because on one hand it says they cried out to God. But the other hand it says they complained to Moses. So I'm calling on God, but I'm complaining to man. Not only that, but I am confused because a dilemma will confuse you. They said, did we not tell you to leave us alone? We were doing all right, being a slave in them cornfields. We were happy people picking cotton and many bricks of mortar. We were happy then, real satisfied. We just happy slaves. Never mind that they have been crying out to God to get them out of slavery. So let me give you something you must do when you're caught in a dilemma and God himself is confusing you. You must appeal to someone, if you cannot appeal to yourself, who has a spiritual perspective. If you see, and if you're confused and you're only talking to other confused people who do not share the same proper view of God, then all you're going to do is reinforce the frustration of your problem, of your dilemma. If God has allowed you to be there because you are in his will, you're in the will of God, even though you are confused, then God alone has to give you clarity. And even though you were complaining about Moses, only Moses could give them the proper perspective. And you say, why is that? Because Moses was in touch with God. Verse 13 says, Moses said to the people, well, he said to the people because they are praying out to God and complaining at the same time. So Moses said to the people, do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. So he brings in a spiritual perspective to their human dilemma. The Lord will fight for you while you are silent, not while you are talking. What he's referring to is while you're complaining that they were doing all that complaining, not the crying out to God. He wanted them to be silent about the complaining. You always cry to God. You always pray. You always praise, but don't complain in the same voice, word. They now in a position of submission, submitting to spiritual authority. He says, you must have spiritual authority in your life. Spiritual people to whom you speak appeal to when you have spiritual answers, just when you don't have spiritual answers yourself. And all you can see are the circumstances. And in verse 15, he says, to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the sons of Israel to go forward. This was a little problem for me here. The problem
with the verse is, there is nothing stated about Moses crying out to God. The people cried out to God, but then turns to Moses and says, why are you crying out? See, when you are in the pulpit, you know the right things to tell the people. When you're crying out to Moses, you are struggling like others. See, Moses is struggling like everybody else. Since what I want you to do is to tell the people, now it's time to move. Here's a principle he had just said, stand still. Do nothing. That's what he said. But he gets another message that says, that tells them now to go forward. You see, when God puts you in a dilemma and there's nothing you can do or should do, you do nothing. When God hasn't given you anything to do, but when he gives you something to do, and that time will come when he'll give you that word, he wants you to get to stepping when he says move. If he says by faith they crossed the Red Sea, remember faith is in your feet, not in feelings. Hebrews 11:29 says that they did it by faith. Faith does not automatically eradicate fear. But faith, when it is operating, overrides fear. Because fear immobilizes, faith moves, even when you are fearful. But when he gives you something to do, you move. He says, tell the people to move. And so the people move. Moses lifts up his staff. He lifts up the now called the rod of God. In verse 17 it says, for as for me, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians. In other words, I'm going to make them harder. I'm going to make them hate you more. I'm going to make them come after you worse than before. So that they will go in after them. And now he said, I will be honored through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. Verse 21, then Moses stretched out his hand, Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord swept the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into a dry land. So the waters were divided. Verse 22, the sons of Israel went through this mist of the sea on dry land. You know, that is really something. The waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Verse 23, then the Egyptians took up the pursuit. For a moment, see if you can just imagine in your mind. This is God just opened up the Red Sea. The east wind blew, it dried up the land instantly, and the chairs of the side, a wall of water over here, and a wall of water over here, and you're walking through, you look behind you, Egyptians are coming at you. Pharaoh and his chariot, they're running hard after you. To see the sea open up, the windows wall up on both sides, this whole army is was almost 2 million people walking through. And you go in there after them, you got to be crazy. I see this wall of water, and these people are going through, even though they're going through, I don't have my horses, and I'm after them, I'm going to kill them. I know they're God's people, and I'm going in after them. Nothing happened. But see, they were made crazy. See, when God hardens your heart, you don't care what you're doing. You're just crazy. They were made crazy by the hardening of their hearts. So God, by the hardening of their hearts, workers making them treat you bad. You know, this can not only apply to, not saying God is going to do it that way in your life, the dilemma or whatever you're going through, but see, he, sometimes you're on the job, he'll make your supervisor even get worse, make you treat you worse. Everybody else is getting along with, but no, not you. What did I do? I tried to do everything right. It has happened to me before. We got a new manager. I was working for another geographical company, testing concrete, soils. This new guy comes in. I was already there. This new manager come in. Everybody else seemed to get along with. I got to meet him, and I thought things were fine, because every time they would send me out, I would go. And for some reason, he just couldn't stand me. I can't say truthfully that was a racial thing, because it's people, black, white, Hispanic, everybody was there. But he just picked me out. For what? I don't know. But see, he will make your people, even though you're doing good, see, the way I work a job, and about since I first learned about the spiritual things of God, I'm working for the company. But truly in my heart, I'm working for God. Because he allowed the company to hire me to work, but I'm working for him. And see, he will have people to even that you know, friends. You thought you were friends, but they will come up and start treating you bad, talk about you, bite, they stab you in the back. God, but see, we under time we said, look, I'm a Christian. I've been doing things. I've been serving God. Why is this happening to me? But see, we want to blame man. But see, God says, yeah, I do what I want to do to get you to where I want you to get you. See, it makes things worse. He said, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and the Egyptians will come after you in a way that is even worse than you could imagine. The result of all this is in the last verse of the chapter, verse 31. You see, when Israel saw, not heard when they saw, when Israel saw the great power which the Lord had used against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and his servant Moses. Why did the Lord have to go to such extreme to get us to believe? You know, I mean, that's the thing. I've had people who just said, look, they would not give their life to Christ, and it's talking about giving their life to Christ, you minister to them, and that's it. They refused to budge. But when something happened, they come to you for prayer. But see, God works that way too. See, because when they come into prayer, they go, don't talk to me about the Lord today. I know what you're going to say. Look, you know, I don't want to hear it. But when something tragic happened in their life, they don't go to other people who are sinners. Why? He don't care. Why do you go to him? No, I know you can get a prayer through. But see, that's God. I'm not mad with them. I do what I have to do. God says, pray for him. I pray for him. And then the miracle happened in his life. Who knows? That's what turned his life around. Amen. Now he's saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. God does things the way he wants to do them. So every time something gets hard in your life, whether it's physical or not, the doctor's going to swear something else is happening to you. But they found no evidence. But we test this, there's nothing wrong, but he can't figure why you like this. God has something, had a plan. Maybe it's a plan to let them know, look, you don't know everything. You're not God. Amen. You know, what people would say, they said, take us back to Egypt. You know what God was trying to do? He was trying to deliver them from something in their past. Egypt was in their past. But you get so used to yesterday that when the day goes bad on you, you want to go back. He says, I'm going to deliver you from yesterday because I have a different tomorrow. But for me to deliver you from yesterday to take you to a different tomorrow, I'm going to create confusion in your life. So I want you to look at your dilemma that you're either in or you will face. I want you to look at it differently. See, when things get hard, God allowed, you know, I had a sermon years ago, and the title of it says, "Look Back, Look Up, and Move Forward." Because if you look forward first, things are bad. But if you look back and see what God has brought you through, you look back and see, even though you have burnt a cross back there, but God made a pathway for you to get over that burnt cross that you thought was gone. And you look back, and every time I look back and I see the steps that I made wrong, I couldn't step anymore. I didn't have the strength to go forward. And I saw footsteps in the sand, but they weren't mine because He was carrying me. Then I look up and give God Almighty grace and praise and worship. Then I look forward. He says, "Okay, son, you can move on now." We have to look at difficulties, not all the time. Well, you can look at it as being Satan, because God will allow Satan to do certain things, but you can't do any more than God allows. And that is to change you, to take you to a better place in Him. You know, if you're not walking by faith, but only walking by sight, begin to walk by faith and no longer a life of complaining. Acknowledge, you know, you can acknowledge what's happening, the reality. You want to, that's that. You got to, you're going to see that. You're going to feel that. Acknowledge that. But don't blame man for something God has done. Because you now have this bigger view of God. He wants to show you His power so that you can blow your mind in a way that out of that situation. In Exodus chapter 14, I said I'm going to be long. I don't know. I got a little while yet. Exodus chapter 14, verse 19, it says, "The angel of God who has been going before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them, which created a block for Pharaoh's army. Could not get to them until they crossed over." So what God did was, He took an angel of the Lord, and He came to that meeting, and he looked like a good deal of that plot of land. You know, I can stand here and tell you a bunch of things, how God miraculously brought me through something. I can talk to any member here, and they can tell you how God miraculously brought you through some things. But as a story I would always remember, I never forget, that's when it involved God's Miracle Church. See, some of you, you heard, you know the story. Some new members don't know the story yet, but I'm going to tell you anyway so you know why we believe so much in God. I don't care how bad things look. I don't care how rough it gets. We have been through this stuff. We know how God works. God says, "I'm going to take you through." We know without a shadow of a doubt, even if I have to go through a ditch, I have to fall on my knees, God says He's going to carry you through. He will carry you through, and that's why we have a testimony for everybody that come here that need prayer for anything, because God has done it. We have experienced it. Amen. It said that an angel of the Lord so blocked the view of Pharaoh's army. So first of all, the angel of the Lord went before them, which opened up the Red Sea. Then He stepped behind and went to the back of them. So they couldn't see. I think it's the movie illustrated with a big fire before they could get to them. And when they could get to them, they had already passed over. See, I remember looking at land. It was 6 acres of land. We walked that property. I remember everybody else had gone back to the car. I think you and I walked back. We went back on the other side where somebody looked back and the ditch was back there. And looked like somebody throwing, you know, we thought some of y'all people, you got a land and it's been vacant for a while, and how people would use it as a dumping ground. So we thought it was just surface stuff. You know, you could. Then we had a meeting with the city. went to the city, and all their people of different departments were there. We met with them. And, you know, God's angel was at that meeting. Because, we were excited. Land with 6 acres, even though the rest was in a ditch, we could use this. We had enough to build a bank. We could build a nice church. We had enough to use. And so at the meeting, everything was talking, and then they were talking. And but you look at a couple of them, and they were, like, shaking their heads. But everything we heard was bad. We were excited. We had a meeting with the city to purchase some land. But everything was terrible. So we left the meeting, and nobody even said, well, we're not getting that. You know, if you wanted to, I wouldn't go to all that trouble trying to get that land. So we walked out, and it wasn't. The angel of the Lord blocked that. He didn't want us on that land. Because a few days later, another piece of property opened up. See, you can't give up on God. Nobody had murmured or complained. The only thing we said, forget about this land. And we were going to try to, you know, go and walk some more land. We walked a lot of properties before that one. You know, another one ain't going to hurt. No. And this land wasn't even posted. It wasn't long, about a week later or so. It wasn't much time. And we walked the land. Oh, man, it's a beautiful piece of property. And it was 6 acres. And it wasn't posted. God said, I got to hurry up and stop this land so you can come over here and look at and get this one. That wasn't what I have for you. But see, we were persistent, consistent, persistent, all them other systems, and looking at property and walking on land, and we didn't get discouraged or disgusted when it didn't do. We walked all up down Hull Street, not far from here. There were 2 pieces up right up the street that we looked at. It was so woody we couldn't walk it, but we looked at it. That's how God worked. He makes things bad because he wants to move you to something better. He does things bad in your life, or you think it's the devil, but he does the work, like finances. A lot of people have problems with finances. Man, we couldn't. I couldn't get a loan to buy a pack of gum. And then the Lord just made a way. We needed finances. I told you, we used to kind of add up our bills. We knew what we were bringing in. And Linda would start crying. Because I said, don't add it up anymore. Don't count it. This is what's coming in. But see, all the times you were crying, and I knew it wasn't enough. I hate to see her discouraged like that. But we didn't complain. But the money that we had, I don't know. We went over, but the bills were paid. I just didn't understand that. Lord, what's going up here? He said, as long as you don't complain, he don't mind you being fearful, because I tell you, we had faith. Faith gets your feet moving. Fear will mobilize you. But faith will override fear. So I don't care what's happening in your life. Don't forget this story of the Pharaoh and the Jews being out of bondage, out of Egypt. That has so much significance for us today. God wants to take us not only as a body to another level in him, but also you as individual people. So is money your problem? Do what God says in his word to do, if possible, and that's tithe and your offerings. God says, where do we rob God? Through tithes and offerings. We had nothing, but we still paid our tithes. The church would look at, I guess they'd look at it and say, huh, that's all they got? Well, you were getting what God required. And that's how God works. So anytime you run into a dilemma, we know the facts about that God is doing something big and better for us at God's Miracle Church, and each and every member. And we know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I can tell you, let's move forward. When God says move, even though we don't see it going, it looks like it's not going to work out, but God says move, we're going to get the step in. And I can let you know we're going to move forward as God says move, when he says move, and how he says to move, because God is the one who created the bad land that we couldn't get the rights to, but he created this good land that it just, and we built within 5 years. And that's how God works. We didn't give up. And we didn't blame man for the dilemma. A man caused the dilemma, but we didn't blame him for it. We kept moving. God says move, and our realtor says, mentioned this. First thing we did, we met her at the office. And she said, this is where the land was. Now look at it. God is good. He is worthy to be praised. As a matter of fact, it's praising right now. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. You're worthy of all our praises, Lord. The praise team, they wouldn't know when they start praising. He said he's going to do one praise.